We now take you to CNN for some already broken news.
There are countless recordings of President Bush on the record, but it appears secretly recorded conversations offer a surprising glimpse into another side of Mr. Bush off the record. On one of those talks, Mr. Bush says, quote, "I wouldn't answer the marijuana questions. You know why? Because I don't want some little kid doing what I tried," unquote.
My name is Scooter, and you are listening to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston for the world. And I just want you to know that I certainly do not condone or recommend the use of marijuana or hard drugs, nor am I presumptuous enough to condemn such behavior.
By not endorsing that, it's not just a matter of self-defense or politics. No, I wouldn't tell anybody to go ahead and get into drugs or madness. But if you want to, and you can handle it, yeah. It's a nice way to go sometimes.
Certainly in earlier times, they worked for me until I became too old and paranoid and so disoriented that finding the car keys was a weekend project. We're not all built like Hunter Thompson. For Thompson, the American dream he pursued all the way to his grave was an endless weird hallucination. And he acted as both tour guide and translator, dragging us all along through the strange and terrifying landscapes of our own front yards, stomping on a rack of bones. For most of us, living on the ragged fringes of grassroots media, Thompson's style, written words, and most importantly, his total rejection of the pretense of objectivity in journalism will always shake the earth. Unlike this preppy punk these spineless CNN worms are babbling about.
Has verified that they contain the voice of President Bush.
A reptile who shakes the Arab world with high explosives and disturbs a rumbling gut with hideous, slithering lies erupting from his diseased gums. Even when Hunter Thompson was a full-fledged role model for me, a much more dangerous perspective than an intellectual influence, I've always despised coke freaks. Not only was it an elitist status symbol back in my day, before Reagan's Contras leveled the playing field, but having to pee in the bushes for 10 years at every party and disco rattle blowout because the bathroom was always stuffed full of little twitching cliques, snarfling lines off designer pocket mirrors, not in shame, but in greed. Cocaine was not something to be shared with the masses, and was the death of thousands of bushes, hedgerows, and the occasional chest-clutching little rich kid who just couldn't get enough. It's just like a coke fiend or an ex-coke fiend. These people who have now rejoined the human race, which they never really left. Cocaine is a drug that amplifies everything that is wrong with being straight in the first place.
We call this, all right, you're next. Yes.
You keep mentioning cocaine, but I read an article you had where you kind of call it a watered-down drug for the masses.
Oh, that's a treacherous and useless drug.
What did you say again? Because
I'm serious.
No, do you remember what you said? Something about going to a party and
just because you read something in a magazine that claims I said it has no goddamn relation in the world to what I might have said.
No, you know.
What I'm talking about?
Well, listen. What they said, you said.
What? Who is they, man? What magazine?
Never mind.
Thanks, please.
But you really must. I mean, we can't talk about an interview that I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, it's just that you had an opinion about cocaine that you'd like to go to a party with cocaine users and give them methadone, acid, and saltpeter, I believe it was.
Well, since you don't recall where you read that,
I can't. All right.
Why should I even? There's no point in my even thinking about whether I might have said it. Maybe I did. But it was, I see a lot of things. That's one of the luxuries of living this way. You can say just about whatever you feel like saying.
just like a Coke fiend or an ex-Coke fiend, here in the new American century, when you introduce yourself as the guy who used to run from these people 15 years ago, back when they were the lampshade heads and fence post children of every right to assemble, who used to corner you like a predatory language experiment, gushing endless, circular, self-absorbed verbosity between bathroom gatherings and the drug-induced neurosis they mistook for a righteous buzz. Call them on it now, and they tell you, oh yeah, I used to smoke a lot of pot back then.
On one of those talks, Mr. Bush says, quote, I wouldn't answer the marijuana questions. You know why? Because I don't want some little kid doing what I tried, unquote.
We wish. If George W. Bush smoked as much pot as Laura back in the day, we wouldn't be witnessing the new American century, grossly misnamed. We'll be lucky to see the 20s.
Now, Doug Wee, the man who recorded these conversations, did not respond to our request for an interview. He does have a book coming out, though. He insists he recorded these discussions for posterity.
Continuum of violations of personal relationship and personal confidences. This is probably the Super Bowl of them all. I mean, this is private personal relationships between George W. Bush and a friend, and suddenly the guy leaks it to sell some books. So I think the president will not look kindly on Doug Wee in the future.
Now, Doug Wee has said that he plans to.
And Mr. Pocket Microphone Doug Wee, no relation, will be lucky to see the end of this year. Speaking of self-inflicted gunshot wounds, you do not phone tap thugs and killers of this magnitude with impunity, especially if they are wretched, dried-out coke fiends. Speaking of coke freaks and Super Bowls, in the April 2000 New Yorker, Thompson was asked about a Super Bowl party he had thrown in the 70s, which was attended by George W. Bush, at just the time when his then behavior at parties is now of interest. Thompson had this to say, quote, I can't be expected to remember what every drug-addled yuppie hanger-oner who wanted to get close to me during a football game 25 years ago digested. There were so many dope fiends milling about, I don't remember what some Yaley named Bush, whose father was a factotum in the Nixon administration, was doing. But he strikes me as the sort of person I would have thrown out of the room. A rich, beer-drunk yahoo with a big allowance who passes out in your bathtub. We woke up last Monday morning wondering how the Bush tapes would be spun, and we heard instead that the gonzo had gone Ernest Hemingway on us, biting the bullet, the last big blast. Meanwhile, we still wait for photos of Doug Wee, a potential Karl Rove diversion, and George Bush snorting lines off the flat bellies of 14-year-old veil dancers on some remote island owned by the Saudis. And until every witness has been hunted down and shot like dogs, this story will have to do. George Bush used to smoke some pot, just like the guy next door.
Hunter, can you tell us if there's anybody left in Washington as evil as Nixon?
If there was, I wouldn't be here, man. I'd be in Washington.
Do you name names?
No, I'm, that's what I mean. There's nobody. That's one of the problems of writing about politics now, or even political journalism. You gotta have real ugly bastards to crank you up.
Let's face it, the yo-yo president of the United States knows nothing. He's a dunce. He does what he's told to do, says what he's told to say, poses the way he's told to pose. He's a fool. This is never an easy thing for the voters of this country to accept. The president cannot be a fool, not at this moment in time. When the last vestiges of the American dream are on the line, this is not time to have a bogus rich kid in charge of the White House, which is, after all, our house. That's our headquarters. It's where the heart of America lives. So if the president lies and acts giddy about other people's lives, if he wantonly and stupidly endorses mass murder as a logical plan to make sure we are still number one, he's a jackass by definition, a loud and meaningless animal with no fundamental intelligence and no balls. To say that this goofy child president is looking more and more like Richard Nixon in the summer of 74 would be a flagrant insult to Nixon. Did I say that? Is it even vaguely possible that some New Age Republican whore beast of a false president could actually make Richard Nixon look like a liberal? Hunter Thompson, 2003.
Liberal? Well, McGovern was beaten in 72 worse than any losing candidate since whoever first ran against George Washington. And it's getting more and more painful for a lot of people to remember who beat him and who they voted for. His name was Richard Milhouse Nixon, and he was a rotten bastard and a dishonest pig, and he got not nearly enough what he should have gotten. We talk about losing battles and degrading the system. There's that nobody has done more to discredit the idea that a democracy can work and the decent people can be elected and run it than Richard Nixon. He shamed us all. But not so much that 62% of the people in the country didn't vote for him in 72. And those bastards have it on their conscience, and they should.
Would you like to ask a question back there?
Yeah, it's rather disconcerting to hear you say that with the removal of President Nixon and you feel that a lot of the big evil has been removed from Washington, and you feel the same way about Carter when he's carrying on.
I didn't say that. No, you people have a tendency here to kind of wonder, you know.
Okay, but anyway, to say that you feel the same way about Carter, which you did say, and I believe the title of the Rolling Stone article was an endorsement with fear and loathing, but an endorsement.
That's true. All that proves is that one 12-point headline on the cover is worth 20,000 words inside. I never said that.
Well, I read the article pretty thoroughly. And
no, you read the headline.
Okay, and the article. But I'm saying that shouldn't you be doing something more? I mean, it's fine when you've got a little circle of friends that I'm sure supply you with, the best drugs possible. But for the person on the street,
still being
arrested, persecuted and put in jail, while it's fine for a national figure,
you're getting excited, you can get away with it.
But don't you feel you should be, endorsing a candidate who instead of his going for an air war in Guerrero, and having a lot of people killed and shot, pouring millions into it.
Get a grip on yourself.
That you should be endorsing somebody who should be legalizing psychedelics.
I'm sure you're a wonderful person, but I don't understand you. Yeah. I just bought that. That's pure ivory. You should be intimidated. Pick out one of your complaints. Let's take them one at a time.
I'm just saying that, don't you think, instead of saying that you're going along with Carter, it's fine with his posturings against the big oil companies and everything, but shouldn't you be moving towards where everybody could use the drugs that you obviously have got so much out of?
Yeah. You're just a natural fool. At first you set yourself up for an obvious answer,
Do you have a question over here?
I can't answer questions like that. Not in public. Who are you? Who do you work for? Yeah.
Would you continue doing
that? I'm just wondering if there's any substance behind the, have a good time, let's all get high, I mean, that only gets us so far.
I think people are looking to me for some kind of justification of what you want to do anyway. Why don't you just go ahead and do it?
We have a question up on the balcony.
Could you tell us about your latest bout with venereal disease?
No. I've not been troubled by venereal disease recently. And so I can't tell you about it. But I warn you against the filthy herpes. My herpes syndrome gets on people.
My real question is, could you give me your feelings about disco?
Well, you're a smart son of a bitch.
KC and the Sun.
I feel the same way about disco as I do about herpes. All right, what do you got next?
Over here.
No, it's your turn again. I want to see you walk on that one.
I'm up here in the balcony. I can't hear you.
Well, you know, Hunter, one of the questions that we came up with is like when you were writing about American Dream and Fear and Loathing, and we weren't really quite sure what you were talking about, really.
Well, what bothered you about it?
Well, the whole idea of American Dream, is there really something out there to be looking for?
It's like the golden streets of heaven, or the U.S. Marines will patrol them. We've been taught, whole generations of people in this country, we've been taught that the American Dream is the sort of guiding ethic. Free enterprise, democracy, honesty, truth, beauty, things like that. And then it is kind of puzzling, you know. You feel kind of naked and alone out there, because once you found the dream and now there's just a slab of burned out concrete in Las Vegas, then it's kind of hard to go on from there. And the same, you don't have the same dedication to journalism.
There was only one road back to L.A. U.S. Interstate 15. Just a flat-out high-speed burn through Baker and Barstow and Berdue. Then onto the Hollywood freeway, straight into frantic oblivion. Safety. Obscurity. Just another freak in the freak kingdom. We'd gone in search of the American Dream. It had been a lame fuck around. A waste of time. There was no point in looking back. No, not today, thank you kindly. My heart was filled with joy. I felt like a monster reincarnation of Horatio Alger. A man on the move, and just sick enough to be totally confident.
I flew out here from Chicago. Actually, I came from New York, but on the Chicago leg. Tex Colson, I'm sure he's probably here tonight. It didn't occur to me to ask him if he was coming out here to for my speech.
He's probably here.
But Tex Colson, my old friend from the White House, who is now... Apparently, for the first time, I listened to him for 2 hours, and I think he probably is serious about Jesus. But it was strange sitting next to a guy. I noticed he was wearing a... sort of a yellow French cuff shirt, and he had his presidential cufflinks on. And I was going to ask him, right at the end, as I got off the plane, I was going to tap him on the shoulder and say, those are nice cufflinks. I don't have any myself. But the last time I saw the ones you're wearing, you bastard, you were pointing at me saying they're going to put me in jail for the duration, which is true. The last time Colson spoke to me was to threaten to put me in jail for just being a degenerate, you know. It's a bad person. The record should show that since then, Colson's been in jail, and I haven't. And I don't need Jesus yet. I might. We can keep Jesus in reserve.
For purple mountains, majesty above the fruit.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves to run, for purple mountains.
You know, we don't always need a veteran weatherman like
Hunter Thompson, to tell us which way the wind is blowing after a day like September 11, 2001. But it doesn't hurt. Thompson published a column the day after. Here's a few excerpts. Hunter Thompson, 9/12/2001. Quote, "The towers are gone now, reduced to bloody rubble, along with all hopes for peace in our time, in the United States or any other country. Make no mistake about it. We are at war now, with somebody, and we will stay at war with that mysterious enemy for the rest of our lives. We're going to punish somebody for this attack, but just who or what will be blown to smithereens, it's hard to say. Maybe Afghanistan, maybe Pakistan, or Iraq, or possibly all three at once. Who knows? This is going to be a very expensive war, and victory is not guaranteed for anyone, and certainly not for anyone as baffled as George W. Bush." Hunter Thompson, 9/12/2001.
I have never met Trudeau. Every time he gets a chance to meet me, he gets sick. But no, I never. Trudeau is. I'm not sure who's using whom in that situation. The only constant reaction I have to it is it's very strange to be a cartoon character. When you're trying to get around the world and still make a living and get by. And if you don't believe it, try it sometime, or even ask, or try to find somebody you can ask what it feels like. There ain't none around. It's a very strange thing to be. And it happens all over the world, in Perth, Australia, in Mystic, Connecticut, anywhere. That goddamn comic strip constantly pops up. Waco, Texas. Some people want to grow up and be firemen, and some want to be president. Nobody wants to grow up and be a cartoon character. I wondered about that. It's odd just to be a... never mind, let's get on to something else.
Part of the concept for a book on tape of Fear and Loathing was to match the music to the text. Thompson drew on the talents of one of his neighbors in Owl Creek, Colorado, musician Jimmy Buffett.
The next thing I know, Hunter arrives in town. I, of course, have not... made the mistake again of inviting him to stay at my house. He has to stay somewhere else. So the next thing I know, he's parked at the Breakers Hotel in downtown Palm Beach. He's completely wired all the valet parkers and the bellmen. They're total fans. So he can walk into a situation and set up a fire base. The next thing you know, it's amazing. Yes, sir, Mr. Thompson here. He's rented some huge Cadillac. He's set up on the penthouse in Palm Beach, and he's going out to cover polo. Well, that in itself was amusing to me.
Four club sandwiches? Yeah. Four club sandwiches. Four shrimp cocktails, a quart of rum, and nine fresh, very large grapefruits. Vitamin C, we need all we can get.
Okay, yeah.
By this time, the drink was beginning to cut the acid, and my hallucinations were down to a tolerable level. The room service waiter had a vaguely reptilian cast to his features, but I was no longer seeing huge pterodactyls lumbering around the corridors in fresh pools of blood.
Look, you've got to stop this talk about snakes and leeches and lizards and stuff. It's making me sick.
Don't worry.
Worry? I almost went crazy down there in the bar. They'll never let us back into that place. Not after you're seen at the press table.
The Denver Post, Wednesday, February 23rd, 2005. Dateline, Aspen, Colorado. In what could pass for an outlandish scene from the pages of one of Hunter Thompson's books, actor Johnny Depp and others who were close to the gonzo journalist are searching for a cannon to grant the author's wish that his remains be blasted into the sky. Thompson liked to joke that he was cannon fodder, which led to his oft-expressed wish for one final blast. Pitkin County Sheriff's Investigator Joe DeSalvo said, "I think if someone wanted to fire a cannon on their own property, I think by statute it would be okay. If it could be done, we'll do it," said Boston entertainment attorney George Tobiah Jr., who represented Thompson for about 15 years. Maybe it'll be part of a public thing, or maybe one night a shot will ring out and people will know. You've been listening to KPFT Houston's Innerside tribute to Hunter Thompson.
The first question I have is basically to get from you a sense of how you would rate the American media in their coverage of the events of the attack last September.
Overall, the American journalism has been cowed and intimidated by the massive flag-sucking, this patriotic orgy that the White House keeps whipping up. You know, if you criticize the president, it's unpatriotic and there's something wrong with you, you may be a terrorist. And I've been raving against this from the very beginning, but I don't have much of a constant national platform now because I've been working on this book, Kingdom of Fear, which is really describes what's going on over here, the Kingdom of Fear. And then we got these generals telling us that this war is going to go on for a long, long time. Maybe it's not so much the generals now. The generals are a little afraid to invade Iraq, a little worried about it. But it's the civilians in the White House, this gang of thieving, just lobbyists for the military-industrial complex, who are running the White House. And to be against them is to be patriotic. Then hell, call me a traitor. The American government is the greatest enemy of freedom around the world that I can think of. And we keep waving that flag, freedom. And, these people are flag suckers. This over here is the most paranoid, most insecure country, well, that I've ever lived in. It's the worst this country has been since I've ever seen it. And I've been covering politics for a long time and sports.
So that's how you'd characterize the popular debate at the moment, that it's full of paranoia?
Yeah, but now on the other side, we don't have what it here appears to be just a bunch of half-bright Jesus freaks. But soon, if you look at it just a little bit with a different prism, this could be a military takeover, it could be called that. Now, if you notice all the power being centralized in the White House in Washington, with these super agencies taking over, the FBI, CIA, these super cabinet positions, this little bastard of a president, the goofy child president, I used to call him that, but goofy is way too friendly for a president who's been nothing but a presiding over the looting of the Treasury and the looting of people's pension funds. He's done a lot of damage.
Our trip was a classic affirmation of everything right and true and decent in the national character. It was a gross physical tribute to the fantastic possibilities of life in this country, but only for those with true grit. And we were chock full of that.
Stop! What's wrong? We can't stop here.
My heart. Where's that medicine?
Oh, the medicine, yeah. It's right here. Don't worry. This man has a bad heart, angina pectoris, but we have the cure for it. Yes, here they are.
Somebody call the police! We need help!
Hey, thanks for the ride! I gotta go!
Hey, pay no attention to this swine. He can't handle the medicine. Actually, we're both doctors of journalism, and we're on our way to Las Vegas to cover the main story of our generation.
Listen, I really gotta go!
The truth is that we are going to Vegas to croak a Sky Baron named Savage Henry. I've known him for years, but he ripped us off. You know what that means? Savage Henry has cashed his check. We're gonna rip his lungs out.
And eat them. That f***er won't get away with this. What's going on in this country when a f*** like that can get away with sandbagging a doctor of journalism?
Hey, thanks a lot for the ride!